Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome here to our final segment on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. You know, you've often heard me say, you know, don't ask the question unless you're ready to deal with the answer. Or perhaps, why be so focused on finding answers when you don't even know all the questions yet? Well, it's my real pleasure to welcome my colleague, Dr. Marilee Adams, who actually is the expert on question thinking. Marilee, welcome to the line.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let me give you a brief intro. She's the founder and president of the Inquiry Institute, which is an organizational consulting firm that trains, advises, and coaches clients to get results through the question thinking system. She and her colleagues have developed this innovative approach applicable to work and life, and it's actually the culmination of experiences from Marilee's prior career as a psychotherapist. The tagline, as always, for the show will continue to be Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, which also is the bestseller that she has done, available in two languages and now in its second publication. Marilee has been featured in national print, television, and radio medium. She is a prolific writer in the fields of psychotherapy and business, including having contributed to several textbooks for positive impact in for and not-for-profit organizations. A native of Virginia, she received her PhD in clinical psychology from the Fielding Graduate Institute, and with her husband Ed and their two labs, live in the arts community and river town of Lambertville, New Jersey. Well, I know today we wanted to go specifically, though, to an exciting space, Marilee, and that's your focus now in the field of education.
That's right.
Well, before we go there, why don't you just perhaps back us up a bit and just get everybody kind of grounded in your question thinking system. What's the model?
Well, the basic point is that we ask questions all the time while we're thinking, while we're communicating, and even where we're when we're listening. And that's true in education, it's also true at work, it's also true in our lives. So when you can really seize on understanding the power of questions and get very skillful with understanding which kinds work and which ones don't to get us the results we want, then we are automatically more powerful and more able to accomplish what we want and be who we want everywhere in our lives.
Isn't that really true? And for those of us in particular that are parents or view ourselves as coaches to help others, it all starts with asking the right questions so those we're trying to impact can on their own find their answers.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you have a really interesting model in amongst that, this thought that we always have the yin and yang in our head, the learner and the judger. Could you review that, please?
Of course. So what Zara is referring to are the mindsets that everybody has. So I'm going to call them the learner mindset and the judger mindset. We always have both. And the only question is which one is in charge at the moment.
Right.
So when we're in our judger mindset, we tend to be judgmental, which is not good judgment. We tend to be more interested in what's right and what's wrong. We tend to see things in terms of either or and look from our own point of view. And it's sort of more closed to be in a judgmental mindset. When we're in our learner mindset, we're more responsive, we're more able to be thoughtful, we're more accepting of facts and also of other people, and we're more actually able to see more. We actually have wider peripheral vision when we're in our learner mindsets. And these can change from moment to moment to moment, and we all have them.
You bet. And in fact, many times just self-managing is all about this area. You know, the time you get in a situation where someone says something to you and you right away jump to the conclusion that they've got some hidden agenda or that they're at fault about something, and you only come to find out that maybe they just walked out of getting a speeding ticket and there's a reason why they now had an edge when they were trying to talk to you.
That's right. And what you're pointing to, Zara, is the importance of asking yourself over and over, what am I assuming right now? What am I assuming right now? What am I assuming right now? Mm-hmm. And that's a very important discipline of thinking anywhere in our lives.
Well, I know I was traveling last week, and I had someone left me a message, and one side of me right away wanted to say, oh, I must have really goofed up that project or that contract. Mm-hmm. And the other side of me said, no, they're calling me to tell me they need more work done and a greater opportunity for me. And sure enough, when I finally returned that phone call, that's exactly what it was another business lead. And I think sometimes we can bring that upon ourselves, the positive side, just as much as, you know, kind of incurring the negative, too.
Well, we can. And also the importance is, if we notice that we've jumped to negative, as you did, then you can simply step back from it and put yourself in a curious state. I wonder what it is they really did call for.
Exactly. And that's where, oh, so many possibilities. Well, thanks for that intro. Let's go now. The fact that you've decided to not totally Alaman left, I'll say, but step off and get on another big major road and look to how your work and the whole question thinking area can impact education.
Mm-hmm. So it was actually an interesting journey that took me on this road. I've always loved teaching and learning and education, and I think that teaching is about the most important profession in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've done basically has had a psychoeducational focus. In my first book, which is a psychology textbook entitled The Art of the Question, it's very much that way. And if you watched me work in organizations or with leaders or with teams or in training coaches, what you would see me doing is helping people learn new perspectives and developing new skills. So I always think of myself as a teacher. And then a few years ago, I was invited to become an adjunct professor at American University in the School of Public Affairs. They asked me to teach a leadership course because they liked the work that I'd developed on inquiring leadership and the importance of cultivating an inquiring mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just loved teaching there and teaching in an academic setting. But still, my work has been mostly, for the last 15 years anyway, with organizations and businesses and government. And then an interesting thing started to happen. In the last few years, I started getting a lot of emails and requests from people in education, from K through 12 situations to colleges, graduate schools, medical schools. And what they were interested in is infusing more questioning into their teaching and into their learning. And that really got my attention. And I was really intrigued, and I was being asked to come and work there. But actually, I was a little reluctant because I don't have a K through 12 classroom teaching experience.
But don't you just love it, how careers, when you lay the right pieces in place, that suddenly you feel these big magnets pulling you in new ways?
Well, and it's also very nice to be open to being surprised.
Surprised,
and
yeah.
And to opening your eyes when things show up like that.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, and I think you and I had spoken about this last week, you know, my children are 13 and 16, and we're blessed at being at an institution, an independent school that is all about preparing our children for the 21st and beyond century.
Mm-hmm.
And the focused on critical thinking skills and pattern recognition and systems application, that's really embedded in what you offer in your question thinking process, Marilee.
That's absolutely true. And it's so interesting because there's so much emphasis in conversation these days about achievement and achievement testing. And it's interesting because who could say we don't need that? Of course we need that. But I do think that people may have a narrow view of achievement and accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. What are you measuring? Yeah, indeed, what are you even measuring by the test? That's right.
Well, I like to look at the whole person and just like the whole child. And I think the emphasis on 21st century skills and critical thinking and problem solving and decision making is imperative. It's absolutely imperative. And that is exactly where the question thinking and the inquiry mindset tracks so well.
It does. So, tell us about some of those emails or those approaches you've gotten from students and faculty that started to pique your interest. You know, any three or four that come to mind, top of mind here?
Well, a few of them do. One of them is a situation where in a not in New Jersey where I live, where they teach people to coach teachers. And, of course, I have a lot of background in coaching. I train coaches, and my book, Change Your Questions, is used in a lot of coaching programs. So they wanted me to take the question thinking work that I've developed around coaching and help them develop their coaches for leaders in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just a wonderful application. I've also had some requests in terms of empowering educational leaders, and that's critical. I love, by the way, the whole concept of teacher as a leader. And that was another reason why I thought I could make this transition, because I have so much experience now in the, and what does it mean to think like a leader?
Mm-hmm.
And now what does it mean to think like a teacher?
Like a teacher. There's the, really those spaces are intersecting in a much stronger way.
Right. Next month I'm going to Canada to speak at a large university to the faculty about becoming better question askers. And I'm speaking in Ohio in June to business students and faculty around developing their creativity and innovation and those kinds of thinking skills.
Well, I'd actually just go the following route. You know, we talked here at the onset, your learner-judger model, that those voices are always in our head. I mean, we have all gone to school at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think when you get that essay back that you just put your heart and soul into and you got a C+ on it and you thought it was an A+. You know, and so immediately what conjures in your head, aside from maybe injustice or, you know, he just doesn't like me, meaning the teacher, but then to step back and say, oh man, I'm really not good at this, and maybe even you beat yourself up so much such that you can't even write the next essay. But instead to turn it around and say, as you would, the learner side.
Well, you just played out something that I'd like to elaborate on.
Please do.
Because it's so to the point. So let's say a student gets back a failing score on a test. So that's just simply a fact. The score is whatever it is, and the passing score is whatever it is. That's important. What's more important is what happens next. So does a student take the learner path or the judger path about their results on their test? So if you play that out, judges and judger, by the way, the cognitive operation is judgmental. We can focus it either on ourselves or on others. So if I were the student for a moment and I focused my judger mindset on myself, I would say things like, what's wrong with me? Or why is everybody else smarter? Or why am I such a failure? Or if I took that judger thinking and focused it on others, I might ask questions like, why is my teacher so unfair? Or why do they give us some stupid test anyway? Or it's my parents' fault because they wouldn't let me stay up to study.
Yeah, that's right. I need an excuse.
So, but neither of those responses gets you anywhere, really. If you take the learner path, then you would ask questions like, well, obviously, what can I learn from this? Or what didn't I understand so that I got that grade? Or what do I need to catch up on so I'm ready for what we do next? Or even, how can I organize my studying so I'm better prepared next time? So what you could see is that learner questions and judger questions take a person in very different directions. And it's really only the learner mindset that fuels the inquiring mindset. Oh, and so, you know, I should mention that when I was talking about paths, I was also referring to a graphic that I use a lot called the choice map.
Mm-hmm.
And if people go to my website, they can get a free copy of it. They don't need to sign up for anything, but it's a very helpful graphic.
And that website, again, is theinquiryinstitute.com. So you can
correct.
Find that. In fact, I keep that choice map in front of me right there next to my computer since we're in the constant mode. Let's go back to the whole idea of getting the F on the paper. Or,
okay.
You know, in fact, the classic example is, you know, we give our kids spelling tests, right, in younger years. And how often those papers would come back to us and it would say minus 10 as opposed to plus 90. You know what I mean? So
a reframe.
You know what I talk about reframing? So I've got to believe, and of course you're a student of appreciative inquiry and positive psychology and the like, of really the shifting the mindset, but also how you frame things, that I could imagine, Merrily, your decision to now focus your energy around contributing to education could also give voice then to a different way of the measurement system that maybe inherently is what throws people into that judger bucket.
Right, and we also have our own measurement system.
Yeah, good
and
point.
Sometimes they're pretty unfair. In fact, you're making me think, Zora, of a pivotal moment for myself when a long time ago that helped me develop this whole system. And it was when I was writing my dissertation, and I think I even have this in one of the books. So I had written something that I really thought was great, and I just couldn't wait to get the feedback on it. And so I called up, I had a phone call with my advisor, whose name was Halleck, and I'm waiting for him to tell me how great it was. And he said, Merrily, this isn't going to be acceptable.
Oh, dear, yeah, yeah, right away.
And I did something that I don't think I'd ever done in my life before, because typically that would have just sent me to bed for a week. You know? And almost without skipping a beat, I said, okay, how do I fix it?
Right.
And it was such a strange, I mean, I was actually startled with myself to see what I had done. And then I realized, I mean, afterwards, because I thought about it a lot, I realized I had changed the questions I was asking myself as I listened to him. So I used to listen with questions like, what's wrong with me? What didn't I do right? And somehow I had switched to, how am I going to make this work?
Well, and you know, that's part of the challenge, regardless of what organization, this whole concept of giving people constructive criticism or feedback with truly the intention of helping them, is how can we as listeners be open to that possibility that these things that are coming to us are a gift? And by the way, not recognize that the givers may not be as skilled or choose the nice, softer way to plant the information. But that it is intended. It's, I know some people will say, well, don't take it personal. Well, how can I not? That's a paper or your dissertation you spend so much time on.
Well, it also has to do with the nature of listening and how that relates to questions. So if I am listening with the question, how are they going to put me down or hurt me, then that's what I'll hear. If they say the exact same thing and I'm listening with the question, how can I grow from this and make it work for me, I'm going to receive it and feel very, very different. And it's very interesting to note that that phenomena is the same whether you were talking about feedback, and I think you were probably focused at that moment more on business and corporations, and of course that's a big part of what happens there, but it's the exact same thing when we're giving and receiving feedback in a school setting.
Oh, exactly, particularly for young children as well. So many of us are born to please.
And I'm not only switching into education or expanding into education, but I've been doing workshops for educators, mm-hmm. and I'm also working on a book.
Right.
That focuses on education, and what you just said is one of the things that's going to shift in the book for our heroine, who is a teacher, because she partly gets into some difficulty because she's asking herself, how can I have them like me rather than how can I have them respect me?
Mm-hmm. And we know, again, you talked about achievement and judging, mm-hmm. but, you know, so many educators or the educational system has student evaluations, it has parent feedback. I mean, the arrows that get pointed at our teachers that aren't necessarily as enabling as perhaps the spirit of the original intent.
That's right. And it can lead to some really useful conversations, or it can lead to people really ending up in feeling pretty dismayed and discouraged and stopping, mm-hmm. which is exactly the opposite of what we want our students to do.
Well, I tell you that, you know, of more situations of young people who lose their zest for science or for math or for writing, for having God in an evaluation that wasn't given in the spirit, or probably you'd say more importantly, received in the spirit of the learner versus the judger.
Well, you know, there's a really important point there, which is the person who is giving the information or giving the feedback or even discussing a test score with a student. It also matters whether they're able to stay in a learner mindset or a judger mindset. And that goes for parents also. So if a child comes home upset about a score, if they get punished for it rather than encouraged to learn and do better next time, it's going to affect not only how they do on that test, but who they are as a learner. And what we want is for students to become lifelong learners. And so everything we can do to encourage that kind of mindset is going to make a difference, not only in school, but also in life.
Exactly, because you're saying this development of the cognitive skills, but also the emotional, the social, the moral, the character side, and bringing that into the happiness mode and then the sense of direction for their lives.
Well, that's really in the background of everything that I'm doing and that I hope to be able to bring into education. It is all about development, and development is about learning. And actually, I'm going to share a quote that I emailed to you before.
Yeah, please do, yes.
And it's something that, well, I say it in my workshops. There's no progress without change, no change without learning, no learning without questions, no questions without curiosity, and no curiosity or questions without an active inquiring mindset.
You got it, absolutely. Well, Dr. Merrilee from the Inquiry Institute, it's a pleasure to have you. And, of course, I am always a fan of your book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And as you launch into this new venue or expanded venue and your focus on education, we'll look forward to here on Circles of Change, tracking your progress. So thanks for being with us here today.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.